to keep your Bibles open at that passage. Great story. Page 1125, if you haven't got it open already, 1125. And let me pray for us. Lord God, we pray as always that through your living word, you would speak to us, your people this morning, by your Spirit, bring us to fullness of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. If your life is a sea voyage, how is it going right now? Is it all plain sailing? Or are you all at sea? Are you sailing in uncharted waters? Do you feel you're in a situation where you've been left to sink or swim? Are you right in the middle of a storm? Have you seen others shipwreck their lives? Are you worried that you might do the same to yours? Are there people close to you, friends or colleagues, who are making a great fuss about something or other, but in your opinion, it's just a storm in a teacup? The English language is rich in seafaring and stormy metaphors to describe the highs and the lows, the struggles of life. You may be able to think of others that I haven't mentioned, perhaps that reflect your current circumstances. In the same way, Christians for centuries have compared the journey of faith to a sea voyage, where all is not plain sailing, where we frequently encounter storms. Maybe some of the older members among us grew up singing, "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life?" Maybe that was a favourite of yours years ago. Again, if your Christian life is a ship on the ocean, under what conditions are you currently sailing? Our reading this morning, Acts 27, is an account of an actual sea voyage with a real storm that ends in a shipwreck, but the whole ship's company brought to safety. It's a dramatic reading. Thank you to Tanya for bringing that out as she read it. And as we look at it together, I want to think about the journey, the voyage of faith for all of us. The voyage, if you like, that Jesus Christ calls his followers to embark upon. I don't think that's a fanciful reading of the passage. In fact, I think Luke, who wrote this account, intends us to draw parallels between Paul and his faith in the storm and us and our faith in our storms. And so as we look at these together, three things that I want to draw out. Firstly, the shadow of the cross. Secondly, the promise of salvation. And thirdly, the adventure of faith. The shadow of the cross, the promise of salvation, and the adventure of faith. Firstly, the shadow of the cross. For the last 4 years at St. Nick's in this 10 o'clock service, we have been on a journey. We have been travelling through the book of Acts. It's been quite a leisurely journey. We started it in chapter 1 in September 2014. And each autumn we've worked our way through a section of the book. And then we stopped for a break and picked it up again the following autumn. And on this journey, of course, we've been following the travels of the first Christians as they spread the message about Jesus further and further afield. And in particular, in the second half of the book, we've been following the travels of the Apostle Paul, his three missionary journeys around the Mediterranean. And now this autumn term, his journey, his final journey from Jerusalem to Rome, as a prisoner in chains awaiting a trial before the emperor. And in this final section, Paul's journey has some very clear parallels with Jesus' journey. Luke, who's the author of the book of Acts, wrote two books, of course. He wrote his gospel, which described the ministry of Jesus. And he wrote his book of Acts, which describes the ministry of the apostles, the early church. In the final section, the final third of his gospel, Luke describes a journey, the journey of Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem. In the final section of his book of Acts, he describes another journey, the journey of Paul from Jerusalem to Rome. And in both these journeys, there is a whole load of parallels. There's the same determination to get to the destination. Remember in Luke's gospel, Jesus, who set his face towards Jerusalem, a resolution, a resolve to get there. We saw the same in Paul just a few weeks ago. He must get to Rome to testify. On these journeys, both Jesus and Paul are arrested because of the Jews. They stir up trouble against them. Both Jesus and Paul face a series of trials, first before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish courts, and then before the Roman governors. You see the similarities between these two journeys at the end of these two books. They must be deliberate, as Luke writes. Jesus and Paul, their final journeys mirroring each other. And in this pattern of parallels, as Jesus is sent to his death to endure the cross, so Paul is sent to sea to face the storm. And through both, we see God's salvation. His saving purposes are not thwarted. Jesus Christ is raised. Paul is rescued. Now, of course, it's not that Jesus and Paul's suffering are exactly the same. On the cross, Jesus died a death once and for all for sin. That need never be repeated. His death was unique. God's salvation was achieved through that one death for all people. But for those who choose to follow Jesus, to go his way, our lives will follow the pattern of his life. And that's the point that Luke is making in drawing such clear parallels between Jesus' journey and Paul's journey. The journey of faith for all who follow Jesus will follow the pattern and the shape of his life. As Jesus was sent to his death, so Paul was sent to sea to face the storm. And I want you to imagine Paul's ship as it began its voyage. Initially, it had literally been plain sailing. And only later did the wind pick up and the clouds gather and the storm closed in. But before it did, imagine the last rays of sun catching the mast of the ship and its crossbar and casting a shadow over the dark, threatening waters. That may well be fanciful, but it's a good picture of what's going on here in this journey of Paul's at this point. The shadow of the cross that we see in the storm. The storm is a hurricane. Verse 14, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship is blown completely off course. They cannot reach the harbour that they were aiming for. And before long, they're in the middle of the Mediterranean. They're fearing for their lives. in desperate measures, verse 18, they begin to throw the ship's cargo overboard. They're no longer worried about the cargo, they're just worried about themselves. Verse 19, they throw as much of the ship's tackle overboard, everything they don't need, that they throw out. And then verse 20 we read, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. For the Jews, the sea often represented the forces of chaos and evil. The Jews did not like the sea very much. They were not a seafaring people. For us Brits, we like the sea. It's kept us safe for hundreds and thousands of years. We're a seafaring nation. But the Jews weren't. And the sea represented often the forces of evil and chaos. And it's as if in this passage, all the forces of nature and evil combine to try and snuff out the life of Paul, to prevent him from reaching his goal in Rome, to stop his journey finally and forever, his ministry ended. Just as on the cross, the forces of evil tried to snuff out Jesus' ministry, his good life. If Luke is writing his account of Paul's journey, partly so that Christians after Paul would learn about their journey, what to expect if you seek to follow and to serve Jesus Christ, then he's telling us that we should expect the shadow of the cross to fall upon our lives. We should expect the storms. And the storms will take a multitude of different forms, and you hardly need me to list them. Illness, our own or those we love, unemployment, family crises, a bereavement, breakdown, despair, depression, loneliness, opposition, ill treatment, troubles of every kind in life, minor and major. All that life throws at us. And sometimes in a really big storm, it's as if the forces of nature and evil have thrown everything at us, all to snuff out our faith and to end our journey. And we should expect this. It's part of following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. It's what it means to live according to the pattern of his life and his death. The shadow of the cross in the storms. That's the first thing, the shadow of the cross. Secondly, the promise of salvation. In the storm, all on board the ship had given up hope of being saved. But Paul has some good news for them. In the middle of the storm, he gathers everyone together in verse 22. He says, I urge you to keep your courage because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God. A promise, a salvation in the middle of the storm. And it's a salvation that's threatened as the story continues. At one point, that the sailors try to escape from the ship and leave all the passengers behind. And Paul stops them, verse 31. Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved, he says. After 14 days, they look like they are about to reach land, to be driven onto land, and Paul urges them. Verse 34 literally says, I urge you to eat some food. You need it to be saved. Right at the end of the story, and the ship is wrecked, and the soldiers are about to kill all the prisoners so that they won't escape, but the centurion at the last minute saves them. And finally, right at the end of the reading, verse 44, eventually everyone reaches land. Again, literally, in this way, everyone was saved. This is a story about a rescue, about salvation. And not just the salvation of those on board the ship, but God's plans for salvation through Paul. The storm does not snuff out Paul's life. His ministry continues. He's saved to bring the message about Jesus to Rome, to preach in Rome, just as God had said. The Bible is full of stories of the forces of evil trying to thwart God's saving purposes, doing their worst to the followers of God as they struggle on in obedience, throwing everything at them. And this is another one of those stories. And God's plans and his promises are not thwarted. Along with the shadow of the cross, there is always the promise of salvation. God's saving purposes are achieved despite the storms. In fact, sometimes in and through the storms. And in our storms, whatever you might be going through at the moment, those of us here going through particular storms, hold on to the promises of God. His promises of salvation do not mean that you will be rescued from every difficulty in life, but his ultimate rescue is assured. His saving purposes for your life will be achieved despite and in and through the storms. Of course, this assurance does not fully answer the question of why. Why God? Why this storm? Why this suffering? What can possibly be achieved by this thing that is happening to me and to my family? Have you ever asked that? I know I have. What are you trying to achieve here, God? What is this doing? Why did God allow the storm for Paul? Wouldn't it have been much better for Paul to have had a nice sunny trip to Rome? Wouldn't he have arrived in a better frame of mind, better prepared? Couldn't he have written his defense in more detail, planned some excellent talks? Why the storm? Why 2 weeks of terror, fearing for his life? For what purpose? It's not clear. Thinking of Paul's journey to Rome as a whole, why did it have to happen the way it did? Paul had planned to visit Rome. He was sure it was God's will. He describes his plans quite clearly and calmly in his letter to Rome, his letter to the Romans. He says, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I've got a gift for the church at Jerusalem. When I've handed it over, I'm going to come and visit you in Rome and then go on from there to Spain. And it seems a reasonably peaceful itinerary, these plans of Paul. And what actually happened? In Jerusalem, Paul is arrested, he's tried, he's imprisoned, he's neglected to languish in a jail for 2 whole years. He survives an assassination attempt, he's sent to sea to Rome, the storm, he's nearly killed by the soldiers, he's bitten later by a snake. It's not quite as he planned. Why? We could come up with some reasons, but there's no real answer though. But God's plans are not hindered. He is in control. His saving purposes, despite and in and through the storm. What does the journey of those who follow Jesus look like? The shadow of the cross The promise of salvation. And finally, the adventure of faith. I love reading adventure stories, and especially ones concerning the sea. I've done a fair bit of sailing myself. I've got a few minor adventures of my own to tell, if you want to hear them. I'm reading a book at the moment called, you may have read it, called The Worst Journey in the World. And it's a famous account of Captain Scott's doomed journey to the South Pole in 1912. It was just written a few years after that. And it's the perfect book to read in an armchair on a Sunday afternoon. But the Christian journey is not an armchair of faith. Simply reading about the heroes of faith in the past. The reason Luke wrote his book was not to entertain us, or even just to inspire us, but rather to show us what the journey of faith will look like for the generations to come after Peter and Paul and the other apostles. For us today, as we play our part and take our turn in the adventure of faith. And if the word adventure sounds a bit like something from an Enid Blyton story that ends with lashings of lemonade and plenty of cake, then remember that any real adventure tests us to the limits. Tests our character and our faith at a breaking point. Otherwise, it's not an adventure. It's just a Sunday afternoon stroll or a walk in the park. As we look at the Apostle Paul in this chapter, we see his character and his faith revealed. He's a man of God and he's a man of action. He's neither passive in the storm, just chill out men, it'll all be fine, nor does he panic. Keep up your courage, men. I have faith in God that it will happen as he told me. If you choose to follow Jesus Christ, life will not be plain sailing. We live under the shadow of the cross. Lives marked with storms and suffering, lived according to the pattern of Christ. But we live confident of the promise of salvation. God is in control. His plans and his purposes will not be thwarted in us or through us, even though we will not be able to answer the question of why this storm or why that suffering, his ultimate plans are assured. And we live committing ourselves to the adventure of faith. Verse 23, the God whose I am and whom I serve stands beside me and says, do not be afraid. Let's pray together. We read earlier, God is our shelter and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not be afraid, even if the earth is shaken and mountains fall into the ocean depths, even if the seas roar and rage. The Lord Almighty is with us. God, our judge and savior, teach us to be open to your truth, to trust in your love, that we may live each day with confidence in the salvation which is given through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.